Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. 34 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. 800-531-3815. John Spolstra is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's president of the sports division, the professional sports division of Mandalay Entertainment. He's the guy that goes around managing minor league sporting organizations all over the country. We'll get him to tell us about that in just a little bit again. And he's the author of the book Marketing Outrageously, which is a really cool book, folks. You've heard me say that before. John, welcome back to the show.
Jim, I'm delighted to be here.
It's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Let's have a good 2003. What do you think?
Well, I think any of these years are what you make it to be. And, 2002, the economy wasn't that terrific. But I find that I get my best results in a down economy.
That's an interesting thing. I've heard you say that before. And, you know, one of the things, and I want you to tell us why in a second. One of the things that I used to tell people is, well, let me ask you a question. You know, when I'd hear people moaning and groaning about the coming year, you know, that woe is me, and almost acting like they're, you know, they don't know what they're going to do. And I say, well, let me ask you a question. Is the rent going to be due? Yeah. The utilities going to be due? Yeah. Payroll? Yeah. Well, and you're planning on being in business on the other side of this dip, aren't you? And they say, yeah. I say, well, you know, you got no choice. You got to make it happen.
Well, you certainly do. And
how have you been able to do this? How have you been able to be successful in down years?
In fact, my publisher told me this when I'd given him the copy of Marketing Outrageously, the final copy. Mm-hmm. And he said, geez, he said, you know, your greatest successes have come in a down economy. And when I was thinking about it, it's not that I don't do good in a good economy, but everybody does good then. I mean, even the dummies do well in a good economy.
Anybody can, right. In 98, 99, people were just opening their doors and getting out of the way.
Well, take a look at United Airlines. In 1989, 1999, they had record profits.
Right.
And this year they're going to lose $3 billion.
And in bankruptcy.
Right. And so they did terrific in an up economy. In a down economy, I mean, my feeling is that you always have to be thinking differently in marketing a product. And in a down economy, a lot of people just get really ultra-conservative. And instead of thinking different, they think about hiding, and they think about how to cut back on more expenses. And they're less aggressive in going out and getting new business. And the business is out there. Because while the economy is down, there's a lot of tremendous things going on out there. But they just have to think a little bit differently and make their programs work in that economy. I sell the same type of program, whether it's down economy or good economy.
Mm-hmm.
But the down economy, we always make our numbers, our budget numbers. In a good economy, we do too, but we probably don't have to work quite as hard at it in a good economy.
That's the difference, isn't it? A little more sweat, a little more elbow grease.
And you have to think a little bit differently. But, you know, Jim, these times are, I mean, every time is changing. I mean, just think, I went into a convenience store the other day to get a bottle of water. And I realized that a bottle of water costs more now than a gallon of gas in a lot of parts of this country. Now, who would have ever thought that?
Well,
was
you and I
happen?
Were growing up, we'd have had somebody committed who said you could sell bottled water.
Yeah, but sell it more than a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things are changing, so we've always got to be adapting in our thinking. And in a down economy, that's when people are thinking less, in my opinion. Now, I believe also that it's easier to get new business in a down economy. I think it's easier to steal business in a down economy, because if you're going to grow a company, you either increase the market or you steal it from somebody else. But when a lot of people are being conservative and cutting back and just hunkering down, that's the time to be more aggressive. Like, we teach our ticket salespeople that they've got to make more sales calls on new prospects than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And most companies in a down economy, their salespeople just naturally will call on fewer new prospects than in an up economy.
And well, so another thing that happens is that you were talking about stealing business from competitors. It's all in the way you look at what you have to say when you go in there. It all depends on how you think of why you're there. Are you there to solve a problem, or are you there to sell something? And I want you to talk about that when we come back after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Tom Sullivan is going to join us. He's chief counsel for the Office of Advocacy at the SBA. He's going to give us a rundown on what his organization is doing to help you and me, and it's a lot. And I'm looking forward to getting Tom back on the show. After that, we'll be visiting with Rich Galen, who will be talking to us about the political aspect of the president's speech and his announcements that he made yesterday. But right now, we're visiting with our good friend John Spolstra. John is the author of Marketing Outrageously. And, John, tell us where the book's available.
Well, it's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and other selective bookstores.
The thing that you'll notice about it, folks, is there's this about an 800-pound sumo wrestler dunking a basketball on the cover. That's how you'll tell that it's John's book. And that's also how you can tell about the way John looks at the world. But let me tell you quickly about a little success story. You know about all the sports opportunities that the consumers have in the Dallas area. Well, John just dropped a minor league team, brand spanking new minor league team, into the Dallas area, into the burbs of Dallas, and he's almost sold out his tickets, and they haven't played a game yet. So when John talks to you about marketing, pay attention. He knows what he's talking about. John, we were talking about the I was just saying as we took the break that the key to me is not going in with what you have to sell, but going in with what your customers need. And to me, that's how you steal business, because if your customers are having a tough time, they need some creativity. They don't just need a price list or a catalog. They need a partner, don't they?
Yeah, you have to do one of these strange things, like selling them what they want to buy.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
But, you know, we do this in baseball, and I'll just give you for instance. You know, Jim, in pro sports, the benchmark of any team is season tickets. You know, they always look at how many season tickets they've sold. And if a team hasn't sold enough season tickets, then the owner usually goes public and says that he's not being supported enough, and that if they don't support him, he's going to move the team.
Mm-hmm. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah. Well, we go into, like, this market, and we de-emphasize season tickets. We teach our salespeople how to sell down.
Hmm.
Because with a season ticket with minor league baseball, it's 70 games, and it's far more affordable than major league games. So companies can afford to buy full season tickets. But then if they don't use the tickets, then there's an empty seat. And we think that the fan is part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And an empty seat isn't very entertaining.
It's all part of the theater.
Right. And, of course, an empty seat doesn't buy any hot dogs or sodas or caps or shirts.
Right.
So what we do is we try to sell down on what a company would actually use, so there's no unused tickets left in a drawer at the end of the season.
Ah.
Also, with the fans, we sell a package that essentially is three games a month. Okay, that's terrific for families, just three games a month. It's like a family outing, three games a month.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we will probably sell 13,000 or 14,000 of those in Frisco, which is a suburb of Dallas. To give you a perspective, major league teams would sell maybe 1,000 of those because their emphasis is on full season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, I mean, which one of us can afford the time to go to 70 home games?
No. How many games will you guys have in a year?
140 games.
Wow.
70 home games. So that's pretty daunting if you bought. You wouldn't go to that many games. Nobody can afford, a homeless can't afford to go to 70 home games. They can't afford the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we break it down in more edible bites, and then it's become very easy. People like to go out to a sporting event on an occasional basis. Most people don't like to go five straight nights out of the week.
Right. Well, it's not like it was when you and I were kids. I mean, people have other things to do these days.
Right.
And when you and I were kids, there wasn't anything else but baseball and Uncle Milty.
But, by the way, in our industry, people think that we're stark raving nuts.
Yeah.
To do it this way, that we don't emphasize season tickets. That what we really emphasize is how can we sell out that ballpark, but we do it in a way that's not traditional. The traditional way is to sell it out on season tickets.
Well, what you're doing, though, the non-traditional thing that you're doing is you're not saying, the traditional way is to say, here's what we have to sell, do you want it? And you guys do it the non-traditional thing by saying, you know, okay, let's think about how our customers will use this,
right.
And then let's package it that way. And John, that's the thing that I've been telling my audience now for a long time, and you're the personification of this advice. And that is to make sure that you know what is it that motivates your customers, what keeps them up at night, what makes them feel good, what is it that they need. And go get that. And if you don't sell anything that fits any of that, you need to go find something that does.
Right. And we don't try to oversell, because we are in the renewal business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if we oversell our product, whether it be a sponsorship or tickets, our chances of renewal go down the following year.
Hmm.
And we will get a renewal on our ticket packages of about 97%. That's what we average with our other teams. That's unheard of in this industry, but we really sell them. Sometimes, maybe to a fault, we sell down. So we have more people who want to buy up than want to discontinue for the next season.
Right. That's very interesting, folks. This is a profile in marketing genius. If you know the things that you've heard me talk about, John's doing this. He's not just. That's what I like about our Brain Trust members, especially John Spokster, folks. These guys aren't just coming here and pontificating from their ivory towers. They're not professing. They're not being a professor here on this show. These are people who are actually doing what they recommend, what they're talking to you about. And I can't think of a better example of that than John Spokstra. And don't forget, his book is called Marketing Outrageously. Don't forget the sumo wrestler dunking the basketball on the cover when you go to the bookstores and check it out. We're going to take a quick break. Ten till. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 7 till. My website is www.jbsba.com. jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And you've still got time to get my predictions, my 2003 predictions and my 2002 predictions and how things turned out. And here's a little hint. I was 12 for 16 last year. So if you want to see what I said for 2003, check it out when you get a chance, jbsba.com. John, you got a website?
Sure do. It's findsuccess.com.
Findsuccess.com. What's there? What do we see when we get there?
Well, I put free chapters of my three books on there. I also have a forum where this is really sort of interesting. And by the way, my book, Jim, really appeals more to the smaller business. Like I put my personal email address in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last year, I've gotten about 4,000 emails.
Wow.
And I've gotten them from all these different types of businesses. It's really been interesting. I have not received emails from General Motors, from United Airlines, you know, or people like that. It's mostly, you know, smaller type businesses. Mm-hmm. So we have a form in there where you can ask my readers a question on how to solve a certain problem. And it's really interesting because then the readers comment. And I find it interesting to look at because there's some pretty novel solutions that they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's findsuccess.com.
All right. Check that out when you get a chance. John, you said something earlier to me on the air, I think, and off the air, that I just think is such an interesting comment. You said you actually feel, did you say more comfortable in a down economy?
Yeah, I mean, that really sort of sounds silly. But, you know, just for self-evaluation, you know, in a down economy, first of all, you feel more alive. And you're feeling like you have to think more. And I think the critical part of this is that in a down economy, you do have to think more, and you have to be a little bit more flexible. In a good economy, because everybody's doing good, I sort of think, well, okay, I guess I'm doing good. You know, everybody's doing good.
And there's not as much creativity going on when things are going well, is there?
No, and everything just sort of fuels the economy. So I think that's good, you know, for the country, and I think that's terrific.
Right.
But I just sort of feel more like, boy, this day is going to be more exciting in a down economy.
Well, you're the kind of guy who likes to differentiate himself from other people. You like to stand out. You like to believe that you can go one on one with other people and win. And the best way for your real strengths to come out is in a time like this. I mean, you leave other people in the dust during tough times like this, and because you're successful even when things are tough. And John, I propose that, I mean, I know what a great businessman and what a great marketer you are, but I propose that everything you do, anybody can do.
Oh, definitely. Because like in my book, the stuff I explain in the book, this is not rocket science.
Yeah, it really isn't, is it?
The difference, well, you know, there's some people that want to make marketing into a science. Well, marketing isn't a science. You know, physics is a science. You know, Einstein's equation, E equals MC squared, that works in a down economy the same as it works in a good economy. And that works as good in Dallas as it does in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
But in marketing, different markets are different. You market differently in an up economy as a down economy. And you really just have to think a little bit more, but not a lot more. You don't have to be really, you know, off the wall.
You know what? Yeah. You know what I do think you have to have, though? I think you have to have the attitude.
Well, you have to have the attitude.
Because don't have the attitude, you'll talk yourself right out of it.
Right.
Won't you?
But you know, you just go in and you know we have to do something to differentiate ourselves a little bit. And how to be able to do this in a meaningful way to whoever your customers are. And like, you know, sports teams will run newspaper ads and they never get any response off of this for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We run newspaper ads and our industry says it's the worst ads they've ever seen. Because they're long stories from the president of a team, but it's all copy and very, very little, few pictures. But then people call up and order these ticket packages.
Imagine that. Hey, John, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Marketing Outrageously is the book. Also, Ice to Eskimos is another book that I know that John's written. Check them out whenever you get a chance. Go to findsuccess.com. Is that right, John?
Right.
Findsuccess.com. And find a minor league baseball team this year and check it out. John, thank you for being here.
Thank
Good
you,
job.
Jim.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Let's do it again real soon. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And don't forget, folks, do what John says. Think about it. Go out there and find those customers and find out what they need. Don't give them what you need to sell. Give them what they need, what they want. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.